just got food and nobody asked for an audio mukbang, so I'm not doing that.
Like, I live for a mukbang, or a mukbang, I think is the mukbang, pronunciation.
Whatever it is, nobody asked for an audio version because I would be doing the chomp, 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 chomp into the mic. Nobody asked for that. I hate that sound. I don't want to put that
in. You do. I really live for mouth noises. Sometimes.
Mouth anything noises, like sure.
Crunching, eating. Oh, I love that. I really do. But I'm,
why?
I'm disgusting. I'm a piece of trash. Like, I'm just
not
into
true.
It. Why? I don't know. I don't know.
I literally told somebody was licking their fingers, like every single finger, and was doing the slurping sound as they did it, and it was really loud. And I was like, can you please stop?
That's aggressive. And I don't, no. I don't like that.
I can't. I was like, please use a napkin. Please, for the love of all that's good, use a napkin.
Yeah, no, I'm not down for that. But I like the crunching and whatever. It's when you, no.
Okay, so you don't like the smacking, but you like the crunching?
I like the crunching, yeah. If it's crunchy, I'm down.
Anyway. I like the sound, mouth noises on Friday My Purple Rapper. No, I like the sound of crunching if I'm crunching.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I don't like the sound of crunching.
Only I can do it, not you.
Not no, that's you. Fair. I'm sorry. It's only good when I do it. Welcome back, everybody, to Finding My Perfect Awkward. And Angie, I feel like I'm deprived of, like, you, like, your existence.
Aw, Kira. So nice. I mean, it's not nice that you're deprived, but like, I do miss so you. No, I do miss you.
I miss you too.
I always think back to you were my last hug before the pandemic shut everything down.
It was so funny. We were in the studio and we were about to do free for all and we hugged each other and Sean yelled at us.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I risked it all for love.
I did tell you something really, really sappy the other day where I was like, you're somebody who, and it's true. You're somebody that I look up to in more than a way than like, oh, like she's older than me and I look up to her because she's been through more life. No, it's more, it's not just that. It's more like, you could be younger than me, but you are like 100% yourself and you don't apologize for it. Like you are you and everybody else can F off if they don't like it. Aww. And it's amazing because I look up to that. And I'm like, that's what I want to aim towards. That's who I want to be. I want to be able to be me. And I've been able to grow a lot as with that in mind because I've been able to see you and other people like Jess and Sean and people who are the same or like similar in that way. But it all started with, oh my God, Angie is just a goof and is silly and doesn't give a shit about anything and like what anybody thinks about her. And that's what I want.
Oh my gosh, that is really so kind of you to say. I do care a lot about what people think and I get really sensitive and it hurts my feelings, but I just internalize it and never let it out. That's healthy, right? No.
Oh, that's so healthy. See, it's
no,
it's,
but I do. It is one of those things. I overthink too, but I have learned that even though, because I mean, I'm an overthinker. What are you going to do? You're an overthinker too, but I've learned to not let that dictate how I behave. So I'll still think about it and feel a way, but I will just also still be myself. And I guess that's it. That's life.
I mean, that's still better than letting it dictate how you act or how you react, how right. you act. And then, you know, what you think about yourself. I overthink. And then I not only overthink with certain things, I think about it over and over and let it manifest. And that's what I'm trying to get away from. Because now that I'm loud and annoying and I could give a shit about what people think about that, now I'm internalizing everything else about me that other people think. And now I'm like, oh, I'm not shy or quiet anymore, but there's other things that I'm like, oh, no, I don't like that.
Well, yeah, but day by day, I mean, no one is just, you know, good at not internalizing things like right off the bat, I don't think so. But I do love that from when I met you to now, you definitely are, it seems like you are more comfortable being yourself, and I really like that.
I am. I think it, and thank you. It definitely has to do with, being given the opportunity to be on a platform to where everybody just was themselves and didn't care. And then being in an industry and doing something that I love so much to where I am forced to be myself. Otherwise you seem fake and nobody likes you. Nobody wants you.
Right, right. Authenticity is
the
key. Yeah.
Yes. And it's a key in not only the industry that we're in, but it's a key in anything. Like, if you're fake, somebody's going to know. And especially right. in this industry, if you're fake, you can hear it. So I've definitely, but I appreciate that. I feel better than I did when I first started this gig. So not this gig, but like this industry gig.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's the quirks and the imperfections that make you relatable. You know what I mean? No one wants to we have Instagram to see people like with their perfect lives or whatever, but that's not relatable.
No. And and even then, I'm a hot mess.
Yeah, but like at least you're hot. So
I mean hot like hot garbage.
No, I know. But like hot, yeah, hot mess. It's better to be a hot mess than a regular
average.
Yeah. Yeah, because hot mess means there's character to it. So you're good. Listen, I can spin anything into a positive. I'm a hype queen. It's what I do.
You are, and I love you for it, and it brings me life. I have to tell you, I love hype. So I think there are certain questions that I have never asked you in order to know. So like the other times that you've been on here, I've asked like how you started in radio and like you got a morning show and blah, blah, blah. And I think it's been a while since you've been on. But I want to know, like, what was your first job, period? And then how did it get you to
like my first job in my whole life?
Yeah.
Oh, when I was 18, I think it was 18. Yeah, when I was 18. No, was I 17? I had just graduated high school and I was 17 when I graduated. I have a July birthday. And I started, did you mute yourself so that your crunching can't be heard? Okay. My best friend, her name is Brandy. She's actually an assistant principal at a school in Las Vegas. Anyway, she's the best. She was a manager at this KFC. And so she hired me because I'm her friend. And I was not good at fast food. I was terrible at it. And the thing is, I know a lot of people, like the thing since we were little is like, oh, you're just going to be some like, go to school or you're just gonna be some loser working in a fast food place, as though it's some like mindless terrible job. It is a terrible job in that it's hard because people are really mean when you don't get their order right, or if they have to wait a little bit longer for their order, people are mean. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this isn't my fault. I can't adjust the cook time on the chicken, lady, or it's gonna be raw and then you're gonna get sick. Like, shut up. And then also, like doing the drive-through is a nightmare. And the only fun part about that though was I would always do different voices. Like someone would come into the drive-through and they couldn't see me, and I would do a different voice and I'd be like, oh, hello, welcome to KFC, what can I take, can I have your order? And then when they'd come to the window, I'd be like, oh, okay, da da da, whatever. And they'd be like, were you the person I was talking to? And I would go, oh no, that was my manager. And I'd point over to my manager who didn't, it was me, but I was doing a voice. And then so these people in the drive-thru just thought my manager had this little lady voice, and she didn't. So that was fun, but like drive-thru's hard because you have to like really, they like record your drive-thru times, and if you don't get the chicken out fast enough, you're a piece of trash. Like it was all very terrible and I hated it. The only good part was working with my best friend because we were just, you know, silly and 18 at the time. And then I was going to school though at the time. I was a theater major. I wanted to entertain and I did at Clark High School 100 years before you were there. I
was not 100 years.
It was 10, I think. But I was always in like the school plays and I was like, oh, I want to do this for a living. So I went to UNLV and I was a theater major. And turns out I did not like theater. That was just the only outlet for entertainment when I was in high school, right? But I was like, ooh, I am more of a TV kind of gal, I think, TV and movies. And at that time, they have a degree for it now over there, but at that time they didn't. And so I moved out of that major, and then I decided I was also at the high school that we both went to. I was in the Teacher Education Academy at Clark High School.
We were in the same high school, the same program.
Yes, the same magnet program. And so I was like, I guess I'll try this teacher thing. But by the time I was done with my second year, I was like, I don't actually want to be a teacher. I've now taken all of my like core classes. Like, I don't want to spend any more money on school for classes that I don't even, for what? I don't even know what my major is going to be. So I left school, and then I met my husband and like we started dating and then we got engaged and then I found out I was pregnant 2 weeks after we got engaged. So I was really mad because I didn't want people to think that I got engaged because I was pregnant anyway. And then I just kind of like settled down into having this like family life. And then like while Aiden, my older kid, while he was like a baby and a toddler, I would work like retail jobs here and there, nothing crazy because my husband worked at a Gordon Ramsay restaurant. And so like in Vegas, when you work in a fine dining restaurant, you make bank if you're working on the strip or whatever. So I didn't need to work. But then somewhere along the way, then it was that, oh my God, I'm talking so much.
Keep going.
Okay. So then I was I always listened to 98.5 KLEC in Vegas, and it was the Chet Buchanan show. Was back then it was Chet Buchanan in the Morning Zoo, and I grew up listening to that station. And at that time it was Chet, Spence, and Lauren. And Lauren was pregnant, but she went into labor early, like way early. Like her kid was wildly premature. He's okay now. He's thriving. She's got 3 kids now. Like everyone's fine. But she had the baby really early. So she had to take maternity leave earlier than they had anticipated. So they decided to do this contest called The Surrogate, where they searched for someone to fill in for Lauren for a week. So how they did it, they said, hey, send in an audition video, 20 seconds long, letting us know why you should fill in. And so I had heard this on the radio a few times and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'll audition and see like if I get it, whatever. So they did, they narrowed it to 10 people. Then each person had to go in and co-host for a day. Then they'd narrow it down to 5, co-host again, narrow it down to 3, co-host again. And then if you were the one, if you were the surrogate, they would roll up to your house in a limousine with a big old check for $2,500. And then and then you would fill in for a week. And so they were like, we're not going to tell you who won. Like, you just have to wake up early that day and hopefully we show up to your house. So I woke up early and I was like, just in my kitchen, like, are these people going to show up? Like, am I just going to be a sad loser in the kitchen with no win? Like, ugh. But they did. They knocked on the door and they're like, you won. And I was like, oh my God. I was actually kind of annoying. There's a video somewhere because I don't know how to react to things if there's like cameras and like pressure. So I was just like,
ugh. It sounds like a TV show.
Yes, it was so surreal. So then I filled in for the week and it was so fun. And I was like, oh man, I want to be in radio. Like, this is what I want to do. I want to be on a morning show. And it was like, yeah, good for you. So do a lot of people. Like, who do you think you are just because you won a contest? But in that process, at the time, John Moog, who's my current co-host, Moog and Angie Mornings, he was working nights at KLUC. And before I went in to do one of the, like, co-hosting things, he had commented on an Instagram post about it, and he said that I was going to do great. Girl, I lost my ish. I was so excited because I also would listen to Moog on the radio doing nights all the time. And I was like, oh my gosh, Moog commented that he thinks I'm going to do great. Like, I was so ecstatic. And so just eventually we didn't cross paths while I did the contest or whatever, because he was working nights, but we kind of kept in touch over social media. And one day he was like, well, I'm hosting First Friday. I'm doing my show from First Friday. And this is, I think, September 6th, 2014. And he's like, you should come down and then like we can meet in person or whatever. So we did. I went down, we met in person. We went to like one of the food trucks. He got a turkey leg. I think I got a cookie or something.
I
like,
love the details.
Yeah. And I need to edit down my story. That's the one thing as a storyteller, you just want to say all the things. But yeah, so then we became good friends, and he started doing this show out of his house. He had a home studio, and he was doing the syndicated morning show that would play in Searcy, Arkansas, and like in Vermont or something. And he asked me if, no, you know what? He was doing that show with Heather Collins, who is at Mix 94.1 mm-hmm. in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And, but she was like busy because she had a real job and I did not. So eventually he asked me, he was like, do you want to do this co-hosting thing with me for this syndicated show? And I was like, absolutely, yes, I do. It's like that thing from The Office, like, do you want to form an alliance with me? Absolutely, I do. Yeah, that. And so we did that for a bit, and we realized, like, oh, are we the dream team? And so it was like, okay, well, maybe this will grow into something. But then he had an opportunity to go to San Diego to do mornings, and I, if you love something, let it go. It'll come back to you. And I told him, I was like, go. Don't worry about me. This is like a dream situation. And at this point, my second kid, I birthed him, and he was months old. And so it was like, well, you know, I have to take care of this new baby I decided to have anyway. So like, go. Flourish in San Diego. So he did his stint in San Diego. Blah, blah, long thing. The entire time, Moog, anywhere he's ever gone, he's always tried to get me as his co-host. Even though, like, they would be like, well, you already have one. And he'd be like, okay, cool. But, like, what if it was actually Angie, my co-host? And it didn't pan out so many times, except for when he moved to Boise to do mornings. And this was in 2020. At the beginning of 2020, he was doing mornings in Boise. He was paired with a woman who was already there. And it was fine. The show was fine. But his PD asked him, hey, how are you feeling about this show with this woman? And he was like, listen, if you want the show to be fine, it'll be fine. But if you want the show to be great, this ain't it. And he was like, well, do you have anybody in mind? And he said, as a matter of fact, I do. And he brought me up, and he liked the stuff, you know, air checks and whatever. And he liked what he heard. And he was like, well, we can't do anything until June 17th was the end of the book for them, like the ratings mm-hmm. period or whatever.
Yep.
And he was like, so we'll revisit this idea then. Well, Moog told me, and I was like, I'm a book a flight. Get me a meeting with your PD. And I booked a flight for June 18th of 2020. And this was before the pandemic, like, had shut everything down. But I just knew that that's what I, you know, wanted to do. Anyway, the pandemic hits, everything shuts down, life is the worst and sad. But in May, I ended up talking on the phone with this PD, and he was like, okay, cool. Just starts putting me through the entire interview process. And by the time I actually flew out in June 19th, 2020, I signed my contract to do Moog and Angie mornings in Boise. And so finally, after 6 years, because we started in 2014 is when Moog and I met, mm-hmm. We finally got to do our show together. And it was, I mean, I couldn't even believe it happened.
Well, and now you're in Seattle, and now you yes! have this whole huge bougie life now. But I can't see you doing anything else but mornings. And I say that because your personality is so big and you have so much energy that unless you were doing something like huge in a different day part, I couldn't see you doing anything but mornings.
I don't think that I could.
And you and Moog are such a good dynamic.
Thank Thank you. Yeah, I don't think that I could do any other. I obviously think I'm dope. No, I think I like have a good personality, good. But I think where I thrive or whatever is if I'm bantering with someone else. Me on my own, that's not. It ain't it. Me with someone else, I think is really good. But then specifically with Moog, I think the chemistry that he and I have, and I don't ever want to be that person that like with a huge ego that thinks she's so the best, because I'm too insecure for that. But I will say I take a lot of pride in the dynamic and the chemistry that Moog and I bring to our show, which is now in, Star 101.5 KPLZ in Seattle, which, like, the way that even happened is because the president of Lotus was, like, just streaming shows to see who he would want for this station that he was buying in Seattle. And mm-hmm. he came across our show and just loved the dynamic between Moog and I, that he literally emailed Moog and was like, I just was listening to your show and I like it. So do you guys maybe want to do mornings in Seattle? Girl, we were like, what? Yes, absolutely.
Like, and top five market, you bet your ass.
It was so insane how that all came about. But yeah, it just was one of those things where it's like, oh, I guess Moog and I really do have something special going there.
And it really is. I love it. And I love that for you. And I'm glad you're thriving. Now, I'm going to ask you about when you weren't thriving. What was your most embarrassing moment ever? Like, just
in my whole life?
Just something that comes to the top of your mind. I told mine on air the other day, and it
I mean, I've been an embarrassment for so long. I want to know what yours is.
Oh, God. I think I've told mine already.
On here?
Oh, yeah, man. I told mine last week. I peed myself in a mall.
How old were you?
19.
Oh, wow.
I laughed so hard, I dropped to the ground and had to, and I couldn't afford to get $15 pants at the time. So I just put my sweatshirt around my waist and walked out in 40 degree weather in a bralette and whatever pants I was wearing.
Probably. That is excellent. I'm trying to think, because I think I'm an embarrassing human, kind of as a general disposition is embarrassing. No, it's fine. I'm okay with it, but I can't think of a specific instance that was necessarily embarrassing. You know what? I did one time, and it was just embarrassing because, Angie, just tell the story. I went with my sister to go eat at Parkway Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband was supposed to meet us. It was his birthday. My husband was supposed to meet us. We were going to have some drinks.
Uh-huh.
Yay. But he was running late. So it was just me and my sister. And a man came up. He was like playing darts in the corner. And he came up and he was like trying to, you know, like, I guess hit on me and my sister. He was like, probably my sister. But he was like, hey, do you ladies want to come, you know, throw darts with us? And I was like, oh, we're meeting my husband to have drinks. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. And so he goes back to throwing darts. And my husband is now really late. And the guy has looked over at our table a few times. And I was like, I just look like I lied. I look like I just made up for no reason that I had a husband. Like, I could have just said, no, we don't want to. Like, this guy probably thinks, like, okay, she weirdly wanted to be like, I have a husband, like, whatever. So then the guy ends up moving with his group of friends to another side of the bar. My husband arrives. And I'm like, oh, I just wish this guy would see that my husband exists and that I wasn't lying. But he was at a different part of the bar. And I was like, gosh, dang it. So then my husband's like, well, let me, I'm going to go to the actual bar, because our server was taking a long time. I'm going to go to the actual bar to order my drink. And so I was like, okay. He walks over to the bar, and then the guy and his friends come back, looks over at our table, makes eye contact. My husband's not there. So, and now it's been like 40 minutes. And I was like, I just look like a liar. I just look like I made up. I had a husband, and it was just really upsetting me, because at this point I wanted to go over and be like, look, he's over there. I didn't weirdly lie. Whatever. I go to the bar to meet my husband to help him bring the drinks over. And so I'm thinking, cool, I'm going to cross back across this bar and get to my seat. And my husband is at my side, and this guy will see I didn't weirdly make up a husband. Girl, I'm walking back thinking my husband's next to me, but someone at the bar recognized my husband from work and called him over. So he just splits and leaves me. I walk back to the table by myself, no husband by my side. And the guy looks over at our table again and still no husband. And at this point, I'm like, okay, well, whatever. I just look like a liar. Ugh, the guy leaves to a different part of the bar again. My husband comes and sits with us. I explain to him the story. I'm like, can you just stay here so that this other guy doesn't think I'm a liar? And he's like, I guess. He gets called into work early. He leaves. So he leaves. Then the guy comes back around. And so it was just an hour and a half where my husband was nowhere to be found. And so I just look like I was trying to flex and act like, oh, yeah, I don't want to hang out with those guys. I have a husband. And no. He didn't exist to that man. And for me, I know that was long, but for me, I think about that story a lot.
Okay, I want to say that the level of embarrassment per person, it changes per person, right? Like, what's embarrassing to you, what's embarrassing to me, it's going to differ a little bit, right?
Person. Maybe to you that wasn't embarrassing.
Wait, whoa. I love the fact that I shared a story about how I peed myself in a mall, couldn't get new pants, and had to freeze to death with wet pants outside in 40-degree weather, and you tell a story about how you're taken by a husband and somebody wanted you.
No! That's not what that's about to be! No, what was embarrassing is that I would think I'm not like gorgeous and wonderful. I'm telling you, he was hating on my sister. And I, because my husband never showed up, looked like I was trying to be like, excuse me, my husband is that. And he was probably thinking, bitch, I wasn't even trying to hit on you. Get away from me. I wanted your sister.
But okay, but if you wanted your sister, if you wanted your sister,
I had a boyfriend. I don't like that. See, this is the part where I'm overthinking.
If you wanted your sister, why didn't you just talk to your sister then?
You can't steal her.
Why didn't he just talk to your sister then?
Because he's not going to pull her away from the person.
You have the husband.
No. Here's the thing. Because it was just me and her sitting at the table. He's not going to say, hey, can you just leave the person you're with and hang out with me? And sorry.
He can say hi. He can have a conversation with her. No, you have to invite
the girl in. She's in. Listen, I don't know what was going through his mind. Maybe he was shy. I just know that this goes back to the overthinking thing. This happened in 2016. And I've never let it go because I just would never want anybody to think that I thought I was so dope. Like, oh, excuse me. Don't come over here. We actually are taken.
Oh, your internet.
And then I looked like I wasn't.
Being
whatever.
Awful.
It's done.
Your internet is being terrible.
Terrible now? Terrible? The worst still?
It's better, kind of.
Well,
it's okay.
Let me see if I can something. I don't know.
It's okay. I can still hear you, so you're fine. But you look awful. Not like your face, but like you, the pixelated ish.
That's all I got now.
Yeah, there you go. That's great. That's fantastic. I love you. I'm scared to ask this, but you're gonna do it, and I know you will. What can you do an impression of besides doing a really great, might I add, impression of a guy hitting on your sister?
Wait, what?
What impression can you do of
impression? I can't do impressions.
Oh, come on. That's not true.
Of anything, of anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually not that great at anything. I can do a cow.
Please do.
That's a good cow, isn't it?
Yeah, you're a great farm puppy.
Mm-hmm. I love them. I guess I do. Sometimes I do, like, if I'm singing, I I think I can do Britney.
You could do Britney?
You know how she sounds like an exotic baby? A little bit. Have you, how she, I mean, she's pretty easy. You just have to, and she, that's Britney. No?
Yes, yes. No, yes. Angie, thank you so much for being on this week's episode, and I miss you.
I miss you more than life too long.
But no, seriously, thank you, and I love you, and I miss you, and I hope to see you soon. If anything, I will see you in August.
Yes, you will. We're going to have a reunion of epic proportions.